It's Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenient Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. Let's talk some Cleveland Browns football as finally we get that regular season underway this Sunday. The Browns will be down in Carolina to take on the Panthers. And here to help us preview that and more with the Brownies is the one and only John Telich. JT, how are we doing today?
We're doing great, Rocco, and I'm really excited just to see how things with this team begin because there's been so many question marks despite the fact that their roster is pretty strong, among the strongest assemblies, if you will, of Browns talent in quite a few years, in my estimation.
Well, unfortunately, I think for Browns fans, there's some who believe that without Deshaun Watson for the first 11 weeks, that things will not be so great for the orange and brown. You had sent me some power rankings or some expert predictions, I guess you could say, from The Athletic, where they had the Browns ranked 13th in the AFC towards the bottom of the barrel. JT, can things get that bad, truly, without Deshaun Watson? Or like you said, do they have the roster to kind of stay afloat a little better than that until number four is back?
I mean, a lot of things really have to work well for them to play like 7-4 in their first 11 games before Watson comes back. So I think they're not really off the mark that much. Without Watson, they're a team that's got a lot of talent, but can, you know, they score enough to be in some of these games, even though the early part of their roster is, you know, not as daunting, at least the first 4 weeks, not as daunting for them. And they open up, of course, with the Panthers. So being 13th, that's kind of somewhat of a slap in the face, but a reality check as well. Can all the other entities of the Browns play strong so that when Watson is able to get on the field and he is coming in as highly touted as he has been, that they can be in a position to make some noise. But there has also been others who have just basically said they want to congratulate the Cleveland Browns on punting on this season because they made sure they got their quarterback for the next 2 years, but they really won't have his services but for 6 games this year. And so you reap what you sow, if you will. So it really goes a long way from one end of the spectrum to the other, Rocco. But being 13th in the power rankings by these experts, that's a bit sobering, but that's where they are because they don't have Watson.
Well, I think Jacoby Brissett, the guy who will be starting in his place, might have some things to say about that, but unfortunately for him, he's got some tough games to navigate through those first 11 games and the first 12 weeks, I should clarify. So, is this a schedule that he's going to be able to sort of sort through and work through? I mean, we've seen in the past he's found success, but can he sustain that? I think that's the big question.
Yeah, that is a big question. I think the first 4 weeks obviously are in the favor of the Browns. And, of course, they got to get over the biggest hump of them all, winning a game to start the season. Yeah. As we know, it's been well documented that in the entire time of the new era of the Cleveland Browns from 99 on to today, they have only won one opener and they've tied another. That was to the Steelers a few seasons ago on a very rainy day. So in order to start off 1-0, obviously you have to win that first game. That's Captain Obvious here saying that. I'll give them the win. I'm going to say 24-21 Browns. I don't think this Browns roster, this offense, is going to be a juggernaut scoring tons of points like it had the potential to do last year. I think I recall last year when they went when they took on the Chargers and – you know, they had scored so many points, and they had other instances as well that they could do that early in the season. I don't see the potential there early on. So, yeah, I'll give them the 24-21 win. I think the defense certainly is going to be a huge factor in almost every game that they play this year. So if you start off with a victory, you still have to continue to play strong in order to get to the Watson, the finish line for Watson to take over to be like 6-5 or 7-4. But I don't see it, Rocco. I really don't. I see them possibly 5-6 or 6-5 in those first 11 games.
Well, I look at the four following the first four, and it's the Chargers, yeah. Patriots, Ravens, and Bengals before the bye week. I mean, those are just four solid teams. The Patriots, obviously, not as much as we've known in the last decade or so, but boy, those following four after the first four, I can't help but think those are going to be real tough for this team.
And even some, even a team like, let's go in November, when they take on the Dolphins in Miami, playing in the hot weather. Tua is not, you know, highly respected around the league, but they do have the weapon in Tyreek Hill now. So you wonder how they're going to be. But here's the curious thing. In the weeks from 5 to 12, they see the likes of Justin Herbert. He'll be there in the fifth game of the season. Then 2 weeks later, you've got Lamar Jackson. The week after that, Joe Burrow. Then you got Tua. Again, he's not in my list of formidable QBs, but I'm just pointing out where he lands in the schedule. The week after Miami, you're at the Buffalo Bills with the great Josh Allen. The week after that, you host Tom Brady. I think he's been pretty good in his career. Maybe I'm going out on a limb there. And then in December, on the 11th of the month of December, you have Joe Burrow and the Bengals. You're down in Cincy, and then you host Lamar Jackson again. And the Ravens. So they're seeing the likes of Allen, Brady, Herbert, Burrow twice, Jackson twice. That's a very tough kind of murderer's row. And then at that time is when the Browns, roughly at that time, they'll get back Deshaun Watson. But, you know, it could be scramble time and excuse time long before that if things don't go well.
John Telich, our guest on Budweiser's From the Sidelines, presented by North Ridgeville Convenience, Sunoco on Center Ridge and Barton Roads. JT, you kind of sent me some guys who you listed as wild cards who could really help the Browns, not only just in week one against the Panthers, but all season long. And we know the usual guys that the Browns will lean on, right? You look at a guy like Nick Chubb offensively on the defensive side, Myles Garrett, Denzel Ward. But who are some of these, you know, quote-unquote wild cards who could really help step up and kind of keep this team afloat?
Well, I know that, you know, there's going to be some questions as they head into week one about the health of Jack Conklin, which makes it all the more important for Jedrick Wills, who was marred by injuries last season, for Jedrick to come on and have a strong campaign. So you want to see Jedrick Wills start out strong and finish the same kind of way. Then Grant Delpit. How about DPJ? This is now his third season. He's got to answer the bell, if you will. And then Jacob Phillips, who's been injured a lot, Rocco, but has that great speed. You'd like to see if he can make a great deal of progress where he stands in his career. So it's going to be curious to see how things go there, the bottom line.
Any surprise with Demetric Felton as the return man? That was Jakeem Grant's role until he went down with the Achilles injury, which really stinks for that man. I really feel for him. But with Demetric Felton now with that opportunity, any surprise there?
Well, I don't know if it's much of a surprise. I think it's pretty much a natural fit. I mean, because this guy, when he has the ball in the open area, he is just so instinctive in how he can maneuver things. You know what I mean? So I think this is a good move. The desired thing would have been Jakeem Grant, obviously, but that's too much for them to handle right now with him being injured, and you lose a guy that has the Pro Bowl status as far as that's concerned. So, yeah, let's see what Felton can do on both ends of things, and I think it would be high time we saw someone in a Browns uniform return a football for a score. It's been quite some time, to be perfectly honest with you.
Well, Pittsburgh Steelers fans, shield your ears as the Browns added tight end to Jesse James. The league's still not sure if he caught that football on the goal line or not. But kind of looking at their additions throughout training camp, JT, and with the practice squad up at 16 now instead of 14, and I believe, as you said, you get an extra game day call-up for these guys, I think three now, I believe, instead of just the two. How does that factor into the equation throughout the course of the season? Is that a big benefit or just kind of a minor note?
I think it may be a benefit to how you jockey around your roster week in and week out, give you a little bit of flexibility for some of those back-of-the-roster types of moves. And you did mention the Conklin concerns that the Browns do have. They did pick up Joe Haig. He's a veteran offensive lineman. So he potentially could be there. Maybe they go with Hudson if Conklin can't answer the bell in week one. But you have Joe Haig there a veteran guy who can be kind of insurance for that position. And then getting Jesse James, this is a guy, you know, he can block, and this is a guy that you could see three tight ends, obviously, on game days. They've changed around somewhat this year. I don't think they're going to have the heavy tight end packages as much as in the past. Maybe Rocco will see on occasion more of like the 22 personnel, which would be two running backs, i.e. Mr. Chubb and Mr. Hunt,
yep,
and then a couple of tight ends there, and maybe that would be how they address some of their personnel packages. Just kind of like, spitballing right here. So the bottom line for them is they've got to be strong up front. They perennially have been that way with the two Pro Bowl guys in the interior. They've got, you know, an offensive lineman who's filling in now because of the injury to Nick Harris, and also J.C. Treader no longer in the NFL as a player. So there are some question marks, and I go back to my Jedrick Wills. This guy was a super high draft pick, and let's see how well he can try to emulate some of what we saw for all those years with Joe Thomas, the greatness that he had at that left tackle position.
JT, you mentioned the personnel packages, and I don't want to go super football nerd on everybody, yeah, but it seems like last year, and even into training camp this year, Browns fans have thrown fits on social media with some of the personnel decisions from Kevin Stefanski as far as the offense is concerned. Is that an area where he'll be kind of under the microscope this year, or were you kind of comfortable with how he operated things last year and kind of trust him moving forward?
No, I think he is going to be under the microscope, because now you've had some wrinkles thrown in. You have your offense on a slightly different bent with Jacoby Brissett there than what you've been used to in the past. I know he's limited somewhat, as they all often said Baker was. Baker was better rolling out, throwing on the run, getting away from those bootlegs that he had and the rollouts. But then the league kind of got keen to that. And so will the league be waiting for the same type of stuff with the Browns to do that? I would love to see them run the ball more, be a little bit more control-oriented in these first 10 games or so of the season, because that's the strength of their team. So utilize the strength of your team. Use both of those backs together on occasion, not all the time. But and some people have often have advocated for using Nick Chubb a lot more than in past years. And I would just continue to use him as much as they have had in past seasons. Don't really significantly up the amount of carries that he has per game. I think, and again, this is not to say that you want him fresh for the 2027 season and negating what you're doing in 2022, but I think he's very effective over the long course of the season, staying healthy, but then having those carries around 20 to 22 per game. And let's see if they utilize him in that way, but use Kareem Hunt in the same backfield package with him. I think that would give them some options, because Kareem's such a threat coming out of the backfield, catching the football.
JT, how many snaps do we get into this week one matchup with Carolina until we see the run the dang ball Stefanski tweets hit the timeline? I give it maybe one offensive series.
Yeah, maybe in that second series, people just mute your Twitter for a while
there,
and then see what happens in the second quarter.
That's some sound advice, I think, for all of us moving forward for the most part there.
Exactly.
So for those who missed your prediction right at the start of things, you say 24-21 Brownies, right?
Yes, I do. Yeah. And I think as they go forward, you know, you could predict the Browns to be like 5-6 or 6-5, somewhere in that neighborhood, when they turn things over to Deshaun Watson. And then again, there's no guarantee that he's just going to pick up where he left off in the 2020 season, when he was among the top five quarterbacks in the game. You just can't assume that that's going to happen, but obviously an upgrade over Jacoby Brissett. And this is all Rocco predicated on the fact that, you know, we may see Joshua Dobbs on occasion in these first 11 games, because maybe Brissett does get dinged up and has to go out for a series or miss a game, or, you know, Lord knows we've had injuries at the quarterback position before. And so to be 5-6, that would set them up for a real tough road ahead to even have a chance of making the playoffs. It's going to be very interesting to see how they navigate. Just this first, you know, we said the first four games are going to be somewhat lighter in terms of the difficulty. So you would assume they at least go 2-2 or maybe 3-1. That might be asking for too much.
Well, it all gets started this Sunday. The Browns down in Carolina taking on Baker Mayfield and the Panthers again this Sunday at 1 o'clock should be a good one. All right, JT, we got to talk some high school football before we get out of here. And another fantastic week of matchups. Our games on WEOL. Well, the big one. What else can be said on the radio and then stream one at WEOL.com. The rivalry continues. Avon at Avon Lake. The Shoremen got the best of the Eagles last year. So Coach Mike Elder and friends looking for some revenge this time around. So again, that should be a good one, Avon at Avon Lake. But hard to believe week four already, JT.
Yeah, it's crazy. And I think also watch for how Avon plays this week. They're coming off that real tight loss to Ted Ginn and the Glenville Tarblooders. So they want to get back, and it just so happens that wanting to get back on track also coincides with the game against their big rival. So that's something to watch for. On the east side, I think Chardon and Painesville Riverside is going to be an interesting matchup. I saw Chardon and Mentor and Painesville Riverside last week, and I was really impressed with how tough the Painesville Riverside defense played all night long. In fact, you know, it turned out that Mentor just beat them by a whisker, if you will, in that contest. And so I'm curious to see how Painesville Riverside plays against a real tough rock'em sock'em kind of a football program like the two-time champions, the Chardon Hilltoppers. So that's going to be one to watch. And on the Mentor note, I want to give a big shout-out, Rocco, if I can, to Caden Burkholder. He did something in the Mentor game. At the end of the game, Painesville Riverside had a somewhat short field goal. I say short because, well, their kicker earlier in the game made a 47 to 48 yarder. So this was not as significant a distance. And he was lining up to kick what could have been the winning field goal. He missed it. And the entire JTO, the stadium there in Mentor, erupted with all the Cardinal fans rejoicing and the players as well. But Caden Burkholder knelt down to the kicker, helped pick him up because the young man just fell down in the ground. It was thunderstruck that he missed and was so disappointed. Picked him up, gave him a hug, said something to him, and then also did the same to another guy on the Riverside campaign. And I just thought that was awesome. I think those types of things need to be pointed out more. I think we oftentimes, especially with like youth sports or parents being involved with travel leagues and umpires and officials and people, all kinds of acrimony going at one another and people setting bad examples. This young man set a great example. I just thought it needed to be pointed out. I pointed it out on social media. And while having this platform here, I thought, why not as well? So kudos to Caden Burkholder of the Mentor Cards, who showed a great deal of sportsmanship this past Friday night. Way to go.
Well, that's just class right there. I mean, you think about the emotions that go into a Friday night, and especially a big-time matchup like that between two fantastic programs. There's obviously quite a bit of disappointment, especially if you're the one who ends up missing that final kick. So, yeah, that's absolute class right there, and good on you, JT, for taking note of that and pointing that out and giving some props to that young man, because, like you said, we see the other way around, I think, unfortunately, a bit too much. So,
well, you know, it's funny, Rocco, this quick point before you sign off.
Sure.
I had people on social media say that their kids should have taunted the kid for missing it and you know, done a victory lap on him. And I just think that's the wrong approach to sports. It's just not how you conduct yourself in everyday life. Why would you think it's cool to do that on a football field or on a basketball court or whatever? Show some class, and I thought Caden really did.
Well, when it comes around, right? I mean, sooner or later, you'll be on the other side of that equation, and I'd hope they'd want somebody helping pick them up instead of doing, you know, circus laps around taunting and doing this, that, and the other. So great stuff there from Caden Burkholder. Great stuff absolutely all the way around. Great class. So exciting week four of high school football coming up this week. Again, our game on WEOL and stream one at WEOL.com. Avon at Avon Lake should be a good one. Then you can catch the Buckeyes on Saturday and then settle in Sunday to close out your weekend with some Browns football against the Carolina Panthers at 1 o'clock. JT, thank you for the time. As always, my friend, great conversation once again this morning, and looking forward to catching up with you again next week.
All right, let's see what those Brownies can do on Sunday. Thanks again, Rocco. We'll talk to you guys next week.